Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the first two verses of our text this morning, which read, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is the word under our theme this morning, Sola Scriptura. Use it. Don't lose it. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, on this, the 501st anniversary of the Blessed Reformation, about 2 years ago, 3,000 Christians were asked to complete a survey. They were asked to complete this survey, asking them questions about their Christian faith. There were 47 questions on the survey, and on the back of your bulletin, you may have saw, I hope you saw anyway, five of those questions. If you haven't circled your A or D yet, I encourage you to do that either now or make a mental picture of it. As you see, these five questions are about the Bible's teaching of the Holy Trinity. And all you have to do is circle A if you agree or D if you disagree. You see, these questions, though, not only these five, but all 47, they weren't designed to embarrass you. But the five questions that you see in the back of your bulletin, these questions are so that your pastor just wants to know if you fit in with the rest of American Christianity. So if you have circled your responses, number one is agree. Number two is disagree. Number three is agree. Numbers four and five are wrong, disagree. So as you look at your answers, 95% of those people surveyed of the 3,000, 95% circled agree to the first question, that the Holy Trinity is God in three persons, yet one God. But we start to go downhill after that. Question number two, can you believe it? But 50% of the respondents got the question wrong. 1,500 Christians thought that Jesus was the first and greatest created being of God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. He is the only begotten Son of God, as you have just confessed. The percentages get even worse for questions 3 through 5. The results of this survey, my dear ones, is absolutely startling. A majority of Christians in our nation embrace ancient errors, heresies, which have been condemned for centuries. So if Christians in America were to take a theology exam, their only hope of passing would be if God would grade on a huge curve. Thus today, it is right that you and I hear about Sola Scriptura. Use it, or certainly lose it. So our text is, as you have heard read, the first two verses of our Holy Gospel lesson this morning. And we begin this morning by looking at the treasure of God's Word, verse 31. Notice what it says, if you abide in my word. That word abide is an interesting word. It actually has a dual meaning. In the Greek, it means to hold fast, both in quality and quantity. Faith in anything else other than your Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, is not quality. Think about it. If one places their faith in man-made teachings, which is a result of the survey, by the way, in human reason, or even in science alone, that person or persons will be led astray. They will be led away from the truth of God's word. They will be led away from the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. The quality will suffer immensely. The quality of His word is the pure truth which changes the hearts and minds of sinful human beings. When we place our faith in anything else, quality will certainly suffer. But the second point, quantity. Quantity must not be forgotten. Your study of the Word, dear one, cannot stop after your confirmation. Confirmation is not graduation. It doesn't mean you put your catechism away forever, that you put your Bible away forever. They collect dust, because if you do, your faith will collect dust, and ultimately your faith will suffer. The quantity will slowly ebb away to nothing. When it does ebb away, you see and you hear the sad, sad result of these 3,000 Christians who we see were believing ancient heresies. It's because they had not been taught the truth of the Word. The quantity was no longer there. When you hold to your Lord's teachings, my dear brothers and sisters, when you hold to His teachings, when you abide, when you remain in His teachings, you will want to learn and read and hear and mark and inwardly digest His Word. This is not a sometimes thing, by the way. It's not only during holidays or Easter. It's not when you feel like it. No. Scripture tells us that we are to know this Word, and we are to know it always. We are to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it each and every single day of our life. For this Word is life. So the results of the survey prove to you, and they prove to me, that too many today, even Christians, they place too much value on culture, on society, and on the opinion of the world. That's the problem that we have in the church today. It's not what God says, it's what the world says. And we certainly don't want the world to be mad at us. We don't want the world to make fun of us. Rather, they take Jesus' word and they simply place it aside, and they bring in man-made teachings into the church, and thus the sad, sad results of the survey. No, we hear from the Word that Jesus' teaching is the Logos. It is the Word, and the Word includes all that He taught, each and every single word. And that Word which is written and revealed is for you, and it is given to you as a free gift. We are to know His teachings. We are to know it more than just head knowledge, dear ones. Now, head knowledge, there's nothing wrong with that. For our seminarians, it's nothing wrong with them having straight A's in seminary, having the highest GPA. But I must warn you, Jess and Silas, that when you're sitting at the deathbed of an aged lady, 100 years old or more, she doesn't care what your GPA is. She wants to hear the Word. She wants to receive the body and the blood. She wants to hear from your heart the Word of God, that salvific Word. And this knowledge, of course, is necessary, but it must be translated, not only for our seminarians, but for each and every one of you. This Word must be translated to trust, personal application, and a loving response. Remember what Jesus said. There in the 7th chapter of Matthew, our Lord says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Be doers of the word, my dear brothers and sisters, and not only hearers of the word. So why do many fall away? So why are there many missing this morning? Well, we remember the parable of the sower. Jesus tells us that a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed, and some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. The word was immediately extinguished, taken away. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, and when the sun came down and the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Their faith wasn't placed on the word. It was a faith that was placed upon man-made ideas or on fallacies or in false doctrine. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. They went off to college and they got in with the wrong crowd. And instead of standing on the word, they stood on the word of their professor or their peers. They became members of the world rather than children of God. And they were choked to death, spiritually dead. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what it was sown. That's why so many fall away. You see, dear ones, unless the word is sown on good soil, we do not stand a chance in this world. For Satan will interject into us those false teachings, the ways of the world, the ways of society and culture, and we will turn away from the word, and we will think that we have graduated, and we no longer need what's on the altar today. We no longer need to be here to hear the preached word in its truth and purity. We forget about our baptism. We become children of the world. And as God said Himself, they grew up and were choked to death. As many of you know, I spent a lot of time in the military, and some of you have also. Now, let me take you back to basic training for those of us who were in the military. Some of us will know this very well, but when a raw recruit comes in, that recruit is a civilian. Nothing wrong with civilians, by the way. But that civilian, what's in that person must be removed from that person. They must become a man or woman who is a soldier or a sailor or a marine or an airman or a Coast Guardsman. They must be transformed, if you will. Being a soldier must become their way of life. They must think like a soldier, act like a soldier, do as a soldier does. Being a soldier must be all that they do. It must be their governing force, if you will. So it is with a Christian. When the word is in your heart, there planted and producing, there in that heart is Jesus. So if we say that we are Christians, we will hold to His word. We will abide in His word. At our baptism, you are transformed. You're no longer a child of the evil one. You're a child of God Almighty. You have been transformed. You're His soldier now. You have been transformed, and your being is a way of life. He is your all in all. He is your governing force. So this book, this word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will always point you to your Lord and to Him crucified. And you will never walk away from Him. You will cling to Him. You will remain in Him. You will abide in the Word. For He lives in you, and you in Him. He is your way. He is your life. He is your truth. That's true discipleship. True discipleship is not graduation at confirmation. True discipleship is being here every Sunday, being here when His body and blood is served. True discipleship is being in the Word each and every day. True discipleship is rising in the morning and saying, Lord, I am a baptized child. I am your baptized child. And there is nothing that will remove me from you. It's that relationship, that lasting relationship that you have in faith with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being fully grounded in the Word, being grounded in His teaching, means that you know the truth. And now this surpasses intelligence and knowledge. Really, it's all about heart knowledge. A true disciple of Jesus will know the truth from experience. John writes later, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. That was Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus telling His Father, everything that you have given me, Father, comes from you, and I have given it to them. That's what Jesus has done for all of you. He has given you the truth. A true disciple, trust fully in Jesus and His promises, since you know that His promises, that all that He has told you and all that He gives to you, even today, is the truth. And you know that the truth is only found in one man, the God-man, Jesus. That means holding fast to the Lord's teachings and never letting go. It means that His Word will sink deep into you so that it becomes a part of you, that it becomes a very part of your fabric, of your being, of who you are. You are a Christian. Christ in. It means reading your Bible and reading the Word, reading your small catechism, not putting them aside and letting them collect dust. It means teaching these truths to your children. And you will be teaching them the very basics of our Christian Lutheran faith. It means attending Bible study. Whenever the Bible is opened, you would want to be there. It means bringing your children to Sunday school, ensuring that they are hearing about the Word each and every Sunday. It means letting the Word of God dwell richly in you. If you remain in me and my Word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That is a promise that Jesus makes to you and to me. It means fixing these words not only in your mind, but especially in your heart. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells the Israelites, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children. By doing this, it means that you have been set free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. My dear friends, on this, the 501st anniversary of the Blessed Reformation, this Reformation Day is a day that you can get a perfect score on the survey. It's a day that you can remember all that Jesus has done for you, not only from His Word, but from the Reformers and all that they have done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It means that when you take the survey, because of the Holy Spirit, you will get a perfect score. This is the liberating truth of the Word. That you are set free. And that since the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You are free to be here to hear the Word. And you are certainly free to come here to receive from Him, your Lord and Savior, body and blood, body and blood that will enter into your mouth and fill your whole being, your whole fiber. And as this word does this, you hear Him say to you, "Dear child, your sin is forgiven. All your sin is forgiven. And now I strengthen your faith unto life and salvation." Know the truth, dear one. Know the truth. For the Word and the truth has certainly set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.